when we stand in His love. Amen. I love that. The Bible declares to us in Romans chapter 8, verse 18 through 19. For I consider, Paul said, that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation, the earnest anticipation of the creation, that's you and I, eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. Amen. Eagerly awaits the revealing of the sons of God. This current persecution, this current suffering, does not compare to the glory which shall be revealed in us. That's waiting on you and I. Amen.
Amen.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, again, it's such an awesome, awesome opportunity that we have to be in your house today, to praise you and to honor you and to glorify your great name. God, I just thank you, Lord, for every person that has braved the weather today to come out and to praise you and honor you and to glorify you. I just ask, Lord, that while we're here, you would please help each one of us to be sure that we don't let anything hinder our praise, that we don't let anything keep us from honoring your great name, that we don't let anything stop us from hearing your word, that we don't let anything stop us from drawing close to you. We're all here this morning collectively gathered together to just love on you this morning, Jesus, to love on you, God, and to just bathe in your presence. Father, I pray that these sufferings that Paul spoke of in your word, that you wouldn't let anything like that stop us from honoring you today. Help us, Lord, to consider the glory that awaits each one of us. And help us, Lord, to reflect and to have that great anticipation and expectation of your soon coming return. Father, help us to do that today. Help us to be heavenly minded and not earthly minded. Again, God, that we can leave this place full of joy that's unspeakable and full of glory. To leave different than the way that we came in. Some of us might have come in burdened, but help us sort of lay those burdens at your feet and to walk out of here in the joy of the Lord. Some of us might have walked in with joy, but there's joy greater in you, God. Help us to leave greater than what we did when we came in. Because we have something to be thankful for. We not only serve, but we know true and living God today. And so, Father, we ask all of these things. We thank you for everything today. In Jesus, our soon coming King, our Savior, our Messiah. We ask all these things in His name today. And again, we all say, amen. Amen. Give God another hand clap of praise as you take your seat. We'll dismiss our young people today. I'm probably fixing a lie to you. I'm going to tell you I ain't going to keep you long today. Amen. Because I know that we have a lot going on today. I know there are parades, and I know that there are practices, and there's all kinds of stuff that has to happen today. But I do want to take my time and make sure that I give you this wonderful word that God's laid on my heart today. I think it's so important for us when we come into the house of God is to receive the instruction from the Lord. Amen? Not from Mark and not from Keith and not from Ron and not from Damien and not from your teachers, but that you hear the word of God, amen, that He has given to each one of us. Did you know that when you come into the house of God and that when you hear His word, God knows the week that you're going to have, amen? He knows the day that you're going to have when you leave here. He understands all of those things. So He calls pastors and He calls ministers and He gives us a word to say that will encourage each one of us and will help us along life's journey. Amen? That's why we're here. We're not here to be seen. Amen? We're here to proclaim the goodness of God and what God has laid on our hearts. And so I want to do that today. I love what the writer here, Paul, said to the church at Rome, that we've got to consider not just the sufferings of this present time, which is for just a moment, but that we've got to really consider the glory of God that awaits all of us, amen,
right,
which is for all of eternity. Right? When we look at it right, I told you a couple of weeks ago, it's all about perspective. Is that right? It's all about your view and how you're seeing things. And Paul was reminding the church of this. That the message, the title is just great anticipation, great expectation. Let me give you the definition of anticipation. I think most of us know, but I love this definition. It really puts it in words that I think all of us can understand. When we talk about anticipation, it's simply a feeling of excitement. A feeling of excitement. Now, I'm not talking about you just won a dollar. I'm talking about you just won $200 million. Amen? Tax-free. Can I get an amen? Amen. Right? You would be filled with excitement, would you not? You would be. So much excitement, you'd almost have disbelief. Isn't that right? You'd be waiting on somebody to come out from behind the curtain with a camera because you're on some television program. Is that right? Somebody's pulling your chain. You would be so excited that there would be this almost just non-belief. A feeling of excitement about something that is going to happen in the very near future. That's what great anticipation is. To have excitement about something that's going to take place in the near future. Paul was reminding the church here that it's going to be just a little while until there is something exciting that's going to happen. Amen? Something very exciting. And we talk about it all the time, right? We talk about God's return. We talk about Christ stepping out on the clouds, right? We talk about Him splitting the eastern sky. We talk about the trumpet of God sounding, right? And all these things, and all that is true. That day is coming, and all of us should be excited about Him returning. But we should also be excited about Him now. Amen? Right now. Because if you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you've got something to be excited about, right? Brother Ron talked about that in our small group this morning. He said, you know, sometimes we're not real excited about Jesus, right? He was talking about Jesus being before Pilate and before the Jews, and here He was, the promised Messiah, the King that they'd all been waiting on, been talking about for years and decades, right? Multiple years. And here He was standing right in front of them, and their excitement wasn't what it needed to be. Is that right? It wasn't. And sometimes we're that way too. But Paul was reminding the church that we should be excited about the glory that God has for us in the future, but also what He has for us right now. Let me give you a good example of what I think this kind of anticipation should be like so we can get into this message. I'm reminded in the book of Acts chapter 1 and verse 11, where Jesus had been walking with the disciples, right, prior to this. He had called His disciples. They had began to spread the gospel of Christ, the gospel of God, throughout that region. And there was great excitement and anticipation around Jerusalem, around Nazareth, you know, around the Sea of Galilee, the whole region where Jesus was. There was great anticipation and great excitement. Jesus was doing marvelous things and miraculous things. And then He tells them He's going to be leaving them, right? He was going to be going back to His Father. And the time came here where he had to be crucified. He was then resurrected. And He was seen with the disciples for 40 days on this earth after His resurrection. It's recorded. Well, here we are now, and Jesus is doing what he's about to do, what He told Him He was going to do. He's about to leave them and leave them in charge of His Word to go spread the gospel. And as they stood there, Jesus was translated up to His Father. And the Bible tells us in Acts chapter 1 that they were all standing there just gazing up in disbelief. There had to be some excitement there too, because Jesus had told them this was going to happen. And it was further proven that He was the Messiah. Amen? If there was any doubt that He was the Messiah, there was no doubt in these guys' minds then that He was the Messiah. Right? Because He did everything He said He was going to do. He died for our sins. He was resurrected. Right? He walked with them and talked with them and ate with them. And now He's going to go back to be with His Father. So here they are sitting there, and there had to be overwhelming excitement, but also disbelief, also a little bit of sadness, right, because He was leaving. But I love what the angel says next. This is why you and I should be excited about God, amen, and excited about His promises, and excited to know that this isn't it. They were standing there looking up with excitement and disbelief and sadness, and the angel says to them, "Ye men of Galilee, why are you standing here gazing up? Why are you just standing here, not doing anything? Why are you so sad and long-faced?" He said, as you see Him go, you're going to do what? See Him return again, right? The same way. And it had to bring them overwhelming excitement to know that this isn't it. He's coming again. You've heard me say this many times. I got to believe with all of my heart That was not the last time that those guys stood on that mountainside and looked up to see if Jesus was coming back. I believe, you know, the angel said, as you see him go, you're going to see him come again. I got to believe they found themselves out there multiple times over the next several years, walking out the next morning going, is this going to be the day? Amen? Yeah. Is this going to be the day when our Jesus is coming back to us? You know, it would do us good as Christians to get up every morning to look up toward the heavens and say, Lord, is this going to be the day? Amen? Right. Is this going to be the day? Yes. I think it would cause us to have greater excitement during our day, and it would start your day off right knowing that this could be the day. Amen. Have you ever thought about it? What would it be like if you were on your job and you were just working away like you always do and you were anticipating him coming back? Every time you heard a noise, you'd think, is that you, Lord? Is that right? You heard a clap of thunder, you'd say, is that you, Lord? Your heart would speed up a little bit, would it not? Yeah. Our cardiologist probably wouldn't appreciate it, right? Because we're going to get excited more than we're not. Is that right? He's going to say you need to calm down a little bit. But you can't stay calm about Jesus. Every moment, if you thought about it, is this going to be the second? Wouldn't it be wonderful if you were working and whatever you were doing at that moment, all of a sudden you heard the trumpet of God sound? Wouldn't that be awesome? You're going to do that one day if we all live long enough, right? If he allows us to be part of the rapture while you're living, you're going to be part of it after you're dead too, but you're going to be a part of it either way. But wouldn't it be great if you were living and you heard that trumpet and you were working and then, boom, you were gone? But you got to anticipate it. We don't anticipate it. I'm going to ask you with a show of hands, how many people think about the rapture every single day? There's a handful of us. I don't do it every single day. There's a lot of days I think about it, especially on the days when things are really going south. That's when I pray more earnestly about, Jesus, you need to return now. Before I lose my job or before somebody dies, right? One of the two, you know how it is. But there was great excitement. They went out every day looking for Jesus to return. Why? Because they had a relationship with Jesus. They did not have religion. They had a relationship. This man touched their lives. He touched their hearts. He loved them in a way that nobody had loved them before. They saw him do things that only men had talked about. Amen? Amen? These men, these Pharisees and Sadducees and all these guys and gals, right? They did things, they talked about a lot of stuff, but they didn't really do a lot. But Jesus came and he'd done things and he blessed them and he was there with them, right? He chastised them, but he loved them and he taught them marvelous things. They were touched by him. And if you're here today and you've been touched by Jesus, you know what I'm talking about. What they felt is the same thing that you and I feel. We have a relationship with Jesus. And that's what causes all of us to get up every morning and continue on every day. And we have a longing, we should have a longing, if we're children of God, to see Jesus return. We have a hunger for more of him. We have a hunger to be with him and not just be right here. I've got a lot more on that side waiting on me than I've got on this side. Can I get an amen? There's a lot more on that side than there is on this side. And the older I get, there's a lot more of it going that way than there is on this side. Is that right? A lot more. Great anticipation, great excitement for who Jesus truly is and what we expect to see. Let's go over to Matthew chapter 25, verse 1 through 13, if you got your Bibles this morning. Matthew 25, 1 through 13. Jesus is speaking to these same disciples here earlier on in the New Testament here. And he's speaking to them in a parable so that they can understand it. Amen? Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. He said, this is kind of what it's going to be about. These 10 virgins took these lamps and they went out to meet the bridegroom. They were anticipating the bridegroom coming. Brother Ron said something about this Wednesday night. Back in Jesus' time, they were a spouse, right? A man and a woman were espoused. That's where you and I get the engagement period. Amen? They were a spouse for a period of time. And what would happen is the bride, she would be going and she would be getting things ready so that she was ready when the groom came. See, unlike today, it's not something that's choreographed. He could come whenever he wanted to come. He would show up, and if she wasn't ready, then he was not obligated to marry her. She had to be prepared and ready for any moment that he came. Ready. She was getting her dress ready. She was making sure whoever was in her bridal party was ready. She was making sure she had everything in order so that when he came, she didn't miss him. Okay? And he, likewise, was doing what he had to do to prepare for her to be with him. So there was great preparation on both sides. And so Jesus is saying to these folks, because they're not novice of the word, he understood, they knew what he was talking about. He was simply saying the kingdom of heaven is like this. We need to be prepared, amen? We need to be ready. We need to anticipate the bridegroom coming, amen? We don't need to be found not ready for Jesus' return, amen? That's the first thing he starts with, right? There should be great anticipation. You got to understand, this is what she's lived for all her life. She has been waiting on her Prince Charming to show up, amen? Don't raise your hand because some of y'all is married and y'all might raise your hand and not mean to. I mean, you mean to, but you forgot your husband beside you. I was fixing to ask you, how many of y'all still waiting on Prince Charming? Right? Hang in there. He'll turn into it sooner or later. I told somebody that last night at the dinner table. I said, I am well trained. 35 years worth of training right here. I am ready. Amen? It took me a while to become Prince Charming. I'm still working on it, but I'm getting there. My wife tells me I am anyway. So he said that the kingdom of heaven is like that, right? That these 10 virgins, meaning they were pure in heart, right? They were pure, went out looking for the bridegroom, preparing, getting ready. Straight, just excitement to no end. If you remember your wedding day, most of us remember our wedding day. There was great excitement and there was some fear involved, but there was great excitement, right, leading up to that time. Christy was so excited about the gift that she was receiving that she don't remember much about the wedding. She'll tell you that. There was such excitement. I don't know if it was about me or not, but there was excitement. I'm going to go ahead and tell y'all something. She probably won't get mad at me, but she was so excited about marrying me, I'm going to say it that way, that we had candelabras back in the day. We used real candles back then. Do anybody know what I'm talking about? If you stood up there and you was in the wedding party and you stood beside one of them candles long enough and them fumes hit you and it was hot in the church, you're going to pass out. Right, it's just we had real candles. Had to have fire department on standby. Okay? Everywhere, like we're having a seance. So here we are up there, and we had a Unity candle. Now they do all kind of stuff like Unity brands and all kind of stuff. You know, I've done everything in marrying people now when they do these little Unity things, right? Well, we just had the basic Unity candle. And so here we are going up there, and we got these two candles that are lit, and our job was to walk over there during a certain song. And we were to take our candles, and we were to light the one candle, which signified that we are two, and now we are one. Is that right? So we light our little Unity candle, and then we go to blow out our candles, and I blew my candle out, and I look over at Christy, and she just froze. Mesmerized by me, I'm sure. No, that wasn't what it was. She was froze. And she did like that, and she looked back. She stuck her head forward again, looked back at me, and she said, I said, Christy, blow it out. She said, I can't, my veil's in the way. I said, Christy, it has holes in it. True story. And then she blew the candle out. But great excitement, right? There was great excitement to the point that we just, both of us, and that was just her. I did some crazy things in that too. She had to tell you all about it. But when you have that kind of excitement, sometimes you just don't know what you're doing, right? You are so giddy about what's about to happen. Is that right? And really, for us as children of God, shouldn't we be that way? We ought to just be so giddy that Jesus is soon returning for us. Imagine that, right? Somebody chose me. Is that right? I still have a hard time believing that Christy chose me. I'm convinced she's legally blind. I really am. Because there's no way if she could see. Y'all know what I look like. I am a funny looking thing. I am an object that is all out of proportion. Okay? But she chose me. And we all ought to be that excited to know that somebody chose me and I ain't got to be by myself all my life. Is that right? That we're not going to be by ourselves, but we're going to be united with the King. Is that right? He chose each one of us. And he has been preparing. What did he say in John's Gospel chapter 14? He said, don't let your heart be troubled. Is that right? He said, if you believe in God, believe also in me. Because in my Father's house, there's many mansions. I got somewhere to put you. Amen. I've been preparing a place. He said, I go to prepare that place for you, that where I am, what did he say? You're going to be there also. So he's doing what he's supposed to do. He's preparing to come get his bride. We just got to be ready. Amen? Be ready and anticipate that. But while you're anticipating it, be excited about it. Amen? Some folks, I've been to some people's weddings. I have done weddings where it was almost like shoot me in the face. They were miserable. Y'all hear me? I mean, I look out there at them and they're coming in the aisle and they got that look on their face like, right? Because they just fell out before the wedding started. Got mad at the wedding planner. Somebody done something wrong. You get up front and you ask them. I always ask them. I say, y'all ready? Yeah. You know what I mean? I have often thought, well, we're just going to cancel this because this is starting out all wrong, right? But we should not be. We should be excited about the fact that he chose us and he's coming back for us. Amen? So he said, this is the way the kingdom of heaven is, that there are these folks and these 10 virgins. They go out with their lamps and they are looking to meet the bridegroom. Now, the Bible says in verse 2, and five of them were wise and five of them were foolish. Five of them were prepared and five of them were not prepared. Right? Like I said, I've been in some weddings where they weren't prepared. It was chaos, chaos, chaos. And I've been to some where it was very well done. It says five of these were wise and five of these were foolish. In verse 3, they who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. So they had no way to light their lamps. So if there is no oil to light the lamp, what's missing in the lamp? The light. Is that right? The light. So it goes on to say, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. So they had oil for their lamps. Henceforth, there was what in their vessels? Light. Amen? So they were ready to go out and meet the bridegroom when he came. And he said, the kingdom of heaven is this way, that there are people that are prepared when the bridegroom comes, and there are people that are not going to be prepared. Is that right? There are going to be people anticipating. All of them will be anticipating, but some will be ready and some will not be. And let me explain that to you. So there are people in this world that don't know Jesus as their personal Savior, but they're still anticipating whether or not he's going to return or not. See, there are some people that don't believe that Jesus is Jesus, but they're not really 100% sure. So when we talk about Jesus returning, they say, oh, he ain't coming. But yet in their hearts, they're thinking, well, what if he does? Is that right? So we're anticipating him coming because we're ready to go back and be with him. And we know what's waiting on us. They are anticipating him coming because they just don't know if he's coming or not. And if they're wrong, they know they're in trouble. But either way, they're still anticipating. For instance, when my daddy would come home, most of the time I anticipated him coming home because I knew he loved me and I loved him and I knew we was going to do marvelous things together. But at times I anticipated him coming home when I knew he was going to discipline me. Amen? I was still anticipating it, but it was a whole other feeling. Y'all with me? Does that help a little bit? Everybody's anticipating Jesus' return. It's just some of them are prepared and some of them are not prepared. Is that right? Some folks are walking around and they got their lamp, right? But they just don't have anything there. There's no substance inside of them. And he said, this is the way it's going to be. He goes on to say here in verse 5, while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept, did what they normally do. While he was tarrying, while he was waiting, while he was preparing, people were slumbering and sleeping, right? And that's kind of where we are today. We're in a holding pattern, waiting on Jesus to return. Now, he's not late like some people say he's late. He's not late. Jesus is not late. Jesus is not, he has not lied to us. God has not lied to us. What you are seeing right now before you is mercy and grace. This fat preacher right here believes that everything that he said would happen before his return has done so. Amen? It has happened. That's just Mark. You take it for however you want to take it. But everything I read about in the book of Matthew and some other places there has probably already happened. The only one that I think that may not have is maybe his word has not reached every creature. Reached meaning understood, meaning they heard the word and understood it, that they needed salvation. But it possibly could have. He's just waiting because he loves all of us. Those that are prepared and those that are not prepared. It's just the way it is. I believe that. He's soon returning. Amen. He really is. We better make sure we're ready. Amen? We better make sure we're ready. It said, while he tarried, they slumbered and they slept. I love verse 6. Verse 6 is the one that should get everybody's attention. While he tarried, and then we hear, However, at midnight, there was a cry made, and that cry was, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him." Amen? These ladies in this story were longing for those words. Behold, the bridegroom comes. They knew he was supposed to be coming. They were hoping he would still come. They were prepared for him to come, at least half of them. And they were just waiting on that moment when they said, "Here comes the king." Amen? Here comes your groom. Can you imagine the excitement level then? Amen? The excitement level, the heart rate that had to change in these ladies when they heard, "Hey, y'all, he wasn't kidding. He really is coming to get you." Amen? You really are worthy of him coming. And that's what it says. At midnight, the cry came out, "Here he comes. Here he comes. Get ready. Get ready." All of us are longing for that day, are we not? We should be anticipating that day. We should be anticipating hearing the trumpet of God sound. Amen. According to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and 1 Thessalonians, we are waiting on that time to happen. Amen? Amen? Right. Where the trumpet of God's going to sound, and the dead in Christ are going to rise first, and then we which are alive and remain will be caught up to meet Him in the air. Amen. Is that right? But if you're not prepared, what might happen is we might be having this church service and all of a sudden the trumpet sounds and people are gone, but there's still enough people here to have church. Amen? That's going to happen in a lot of churches and quite possibly in this church. There are going to be preachers that are preaching the Word of God and the trumpet's going to sound and people are going to be gone and they're going to still be standing here holding the Word of God and not went nowhere. Amen. Right? Because we, while he slumbered and slept, we done things instead of preparing for him to come. We were doing other things and we were caught off guard. Is that right? That's what's going to happen. Now there's a lot of folks playing around with God, right? Now listen to me. During this time, if you chose to play around and not be prepared, when he came, as I said to you, and you weren't prepared, you would just, that would be a humiliation to the groom. It would be an embarrassment to him and to his family. And you wouldn't be taken. He would leave you there. I'm telling you today that Jesus gave his life. He is preparing a way, as he says in John 14. He has prepared that way, right? And he's back with his Father. And he has been given to you and I. His Father gave him to you and I. Betrothed him, if you will, to us. Engaged him in us and with us. And there's been a courtship ever since. And he has been longing to come back and get his bride. Wouldn't it be terrible if he comes back and he's expecting a bride that is ready and that is prepared and that is pure and holy and righteous? This is why he used in the parable virgins, meaning they are prepared and ready for him. They have not defiled themselves with the things of this world. Okay? Wouldn't it be terrible if he comes back and now all of a sudden he don't have 10 virgins, he has only 5, which is what the story is all about. Okay, they weren't all ready. And they were not prepared. What an embarrassment that must be. The ones that will be embarrassed there is the bride. Amen? Because he's going to leave them there and everybody else is going to see that they're still here. Y'all with me? Amen. We got to anticipate the return of the king and make sure that we are ready. He's slumbering and sleeping because he's given us time to be ready so when he returns, we don't have to be ashamed. Is that right? Doesn't the Word of God tell us that we should study the Word and to know it? That we are not what? Ashamed. Is that right? That we're not ashamed. That we're not left here. That we miss this wonderful opportunity. And then he says in verse 7, "Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps," right? They got up and they tried to get ready. They were ready. "Here he comes, here he comes." Right, and they were trying to prepare. I can imagine on the day that the rapture takes place, people are going to be gone, and then you're going to see people that knew the Word of God, that had opportunity and didn't take it. They're going to know what happened. Amen? I believe that with all of my heart. It's not like it's going to happen, and everybody in the world, some people aren't going to know what's happening, but a lot of people are going to know what just happened, especially the people that's in the church. Amen? You think about this today. Look at the person beside you, in front of you, behind you. Look real quick. What if all of a sudden, boom, You look up and they're gone and you're still sitting there. You know what happened because I'm talking to you about it right now. Amen? So if it happened like right now and people got gone and you're the only one sitting there, you know what just happened. Is that right? Can you imagine the embarrassment and the feeling of loss that has to happen right there? See, these ladies weren't just embarrassed, but they lost the person that was going to take care of them the rest of their lives. See, it ain't like it is today. I just find me another man. Is that right? That's what we do today. He can leave me if he want to. Right? Because I find me somebody else. Well, let me just explain something to you. If during that time your man showed up and you wasn't ready, you think another man going to come right behind him? Uh-uh. Because that done got all over the whole town. And it's in that time, it ain't an embarrassment today, right? We just were four or five folks at one time. We just shacking up. Come on, somebody. Let's tell the truth. Nobody's scared anymore, right? Anybody embarrassed? We ain't got nothing we ashamed of anymore. But back in them days, if you'd have done that, not only were you embarrassed, but your mama and your daddy was embarrassed. Your entire family, those that have died and gone on, you had made a mockery of your entire family. You were basically disowned during that time. And ain't no other man going to want that to happen in his household. Because here's the deal. Back in them days, you didn't choose who you was with. Come on, somebody. Is that right, Brother Ron? Mamas and daddies chose who you were with.
Right.
So you think that old boy down the road's daddy's going to say, hey, old Damien missed out. She wasn't ready, but I got word she's going to be ready next time. It's your opportunity. Huh? They ain't going to do that because they don't want that to happen to them. That's what I tell people all the time. I know I'm getting off subject. This is good. This is good, right? It's free. Don't cost you nothing. I have people come to me and say, I have found a true love in my life, and I'm going to marry him. Now, what they failed to tell me that I already knew was I was sleeping around with him while I was married to my husband and while he was married to his wife. And I thought, now listen, do you not think that if he slept around on his wife, he ain't going to sleep around on you? Huh? Come on now. I ain't real smart, but I got enough sense to understand that. Is that right? We don't think anymore. So, see, it couldn't happen here. They wasn't like you just going to go find somebody else. Your chances then got real like slim and none. And slim ain't even here. None. So you got to be ready. Right? So all these virgins jump up, trim their lamps, and they're ready. Here comes the groom. Right? Here he comes. Now, what in the world makes somebody trim a lamp? You know you ain't got no oil in that thing. Right? Is that not the church today? We got folks trying to light a fire, and we ain't got nothing in there to light the fire with. Is that right? Come on now. We'll stand up here and preach and tell people, stand up. Y'all need to be excited about the Lord. If you ain't got him in you, you can't be excited about Jesus. Right? We can cheerlead all we want to. Preachers can preach on all we want. You can have people stand up here, they're blue in their face saying, why ain't y'all smiling? Why ain't y'all excited about the Lord? Because they ain't got him. Right? You can't be excited about something you don't have. Is that right? You see what I'm saying? So here they are out there. The groom's coming. Trying to light something without no fuel in it, right? You can see them frantically over here. Shh, shh. Nothing happening. Nothing. What they're trying to do is let everybody around them think that they got something there when they really don't. Is that right? And honey, listen, that's happening in churches across the world. There are people walking in the house of God trimming lamps that they got no wick or no fuel in to trim. Right? But they want people to think they do, though, right? Oh, I'm trimming my lamp, right? When the song director stands up and says, all right, everybody stand up, raise your hands. I'm trimming. But there ain't nothing in it. Is that right? Nothing in it. These ladies jumped out there and started trimming their wicks as if they had something in there. Some of them did, some of them didn't. The foolish, the unprepared, said unto the wise, How many of you know that to be true, right? If you go to start your stuff and it don't work, you're going to go help get somebody else, try to help you out, right? Give us your oil, for our lamps are gone out. Give us your oil, for our lamps have gone out. Now, I'm going to say something today. I want you to know that I love you, and I want you ready. I want you to be anticipating Christ's return. And I want you to be excited about it, right? But the only way to anticipate and to be excited is to have it, right? To know him, to have a promise. See, when that guy was betrothed to that lady, there was a promise made. I'm going to come back and get you. This is why Jesus said to not let your heart be troubled, because he said, I'm coming back to you. I promise I will be there. When Jesus makes a promise, he's going to keep it. Back in that day, unlike today, right, when there was a promise made, they kept it. Right? When that promise was made, do you promise to love her and take her and protect her in sickness as well as in health? Right? All those things that we say, do you promise? And what do we say? Yes. But in most cases, it falls straight to the floor. The promise is, as long as she stays looking like she does right now, and as long as she's able to provide what I need, I'll stay there. Or as long as I don't find somebody who looks better than she does. Right? We need to put that in our vows going forward. Amen, somebody. Go and get it all out on the table. But here's the deal. They reached out for somebody else to help them to get some of their oil. What I want you to know today is I can't do that for you. Amen? You can't have my oil. Even if I wanted to give it to you, I can't give it to you, because I'm not the one that gives it. Is that right? And listen to me. Just because your grandmama's been in this church all her life, grandmama can't give you the oil that you need to be prepared for his return. Neither can your mama or your daddy. You don't live on somebody else's relationship with Christ. Because what you have is what you need to get you there. Amen? See, all I got's enough to get me there. And all Brother Harry's got's enough to get him there. Is that right? And all that Brother Joey has is enough to get him there. Right? If I give you some of mine, then I ain't going to get there. I love you, but I'm going. Right? I can't do that. See, that's been given to me. And you have to get your own. So they looked over at him and said, hey, he's coming and we're not ready. So can you help us out a little bit? Right? Can you help us out? Now, I don't know about you, but if they was, have you ever watched The Bachelor? Yeah. Don't answer that question. I've seen enough of it to know I don't want to watch it, but that's neither here nor there, okay? But all these women are fighting over this one guy. And sometimes the dude looks like his face caught on fire and somebody put it out with a track shoe. I just don't understand what we're fighting over. He must have a lot of money, I guess. I don't know. That's just Mark. Just say it. But they're all falling out with one another over this one guy. Is that right? So, can you imagine? You know, this one's going over saying, hey, give me some of your oil because I want this man. And then say, uh-huh, I want this man, right? You know good and well they ain't going to be giving up their man. They're not going to be helping you take their man. Is that right? I did what I'm supposed to do to get him, and I'm going to get him. Is that right? And all of us should be that way. That is my Jesus, amen? And it is your Jesus. It needs to be personal. I ain't letting Jesus go for nobody, amen? And you shouldn't let him go for nobody. He's enough for all of us, but you got to go get him yourself, okay? You can't rely on somebody else. You can't rely on them to help you have enough oil to get in, because it ain't just a little bit to get you into heaven. I hear people say that sometimes too. Well, I just want to have just enough Jesus that I make it into heaven. No, 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 no. Because he says in there that if they scarcely make it, amen. It teaches us that we're going to scarcely make it in there. It's going to be on not our merits, but on Jesus' merit. Is that right? And him alone. So I can't afford to give any of it away. Is that right? I got to hold on to it. So you got to hold on to it, right? Be prepared and be ready that you don't have to lean on somebody else to get there, because it ain't going to happen. Now listen, in verse 9, but the wise answered, saying, not so, no way, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go you rather to them who sell and buy for yourselves. you know where to get it. Amen? Does anybody in here today not know where to go find the oil that you need in your life for salvation? Does anybody not know? Anybody? I think all of us know where to go. It's right here. It's right here. Right? So all of us know where to go. And so what they were saying to him was, go to the people that are selling it and that you can get it for yourself. But see, during this time, it's too late. Amen? It's too late. We all know what to do, but we choose not to do it. Right? Because we're thinking, if I miss this guy, another dude's coming. Right? That's what we're... It seems to be that... We think that there's another plan, that there's a plan B. As I said to you, in this time, there was no plan B. There was only plan A. And today, as children of God, I'm telling you, there is no plan B. Jesus said himself in John's Gospel again that I am the way in verse 6 of chapter 14. I am the truth. He said, I am the life. Nobody does what? Gets to the Father but by me. Is that what he said? Amen. There is no plan B. There's no exception to the rule. There is no fine print. Right? So if we miss the groom when he comes, there is no plan B. Okay? He's it. And I know what you're saying. Well, preacher, there in Revelation, that says there'll be some folks saved during that time period. And it does say that, but there's no guarantees in that. Amen? That's grace again. That's God's long suffering that you might have an opportunity. Right now, all you got to do is be ready. That's it. It's a guarantee. It's a promise. There's no promise in that. You might not make it. If you go back and read Revelation, it ain't going to be as easy as everybody's preaching and teaching. And shame on them. If somebody preaches and teaches what you should do to miss the rapture, we have missed our calling. Amen. Amen. Our job is not to preach and teach what to do if you miss it. Our job is to say, don't miss it. Amen. Amen. Don't miss it. Listen. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and for you. Go get your own. It said in verse 10, and while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And they who were ready went with him to the marriage. And the doors were what? Shut. Right? People are going to be running to and fro, trying to get saved after it happens. Right? It's like we're all from Missouri, are we not? The show me state. You let the rapture happen first, and I'll believe it, baby. Then I'll go get saved. It's not that way. Today, he said, is the day of salvation. Be ye ready, he said, for you know not the hour. Is that what he said? We don't know the time nor the hour where the Son of Man does what? Returns. Is that right? Be ready. Because he's coming back for a bride without spot or blemish. Amen. Right? Pure and holy. Pure and holy. He's not coming back for a church that some of the things that we see today. I think in some churches around the world, and I say this because I hear about them, and you see people, you hear preachers on television, and it almost makes me think, what? You hear them preaching something that's contrary to the Word of God. I'm talking about way out. I ain't talking about just splitting hairs. I'm talking about way out there that is not biblical. Right? Basically that you can live how you want to live and still get into heaven, right? That's not so. He's coming back for a church that is pure and holy and righteous. Well, he said in his word, without spot or blemish, without sin, okay? Which means that if it says it in here and it's in your life, that stuff's got to be moved away. That's the preparation, right, for the church too. Not just sinners, the church, right? He's talking to us that there's things in our lives that we got to get out of the way that we make sure that we don't miss the groom. He's coming. We should be anticipating his coming. And part of being anticipating his coming, as I said to you multiple times this morning, is be ready. Well, how do you get ready? It's more than just brick and mortar. It's more than just putting on a dress. It's about cleaning up our lives. Amen? Amen. Matching the Word of God. Contrary to what is being taught today, right? You can't do some of these things and still get into heaven. He's going to come back and you got no oil. Right? There's no presence. There's no spirit there. If we keep doing those things, right, that are not right, then his spirit's not going to be there. He said his spirit doesn't always strive with man. Righteousness and unrighteousness, it cannot coexist. Come on, guys. Look at your neighbor and say, that was true. Spirit and righteousness and unrighteousness do not coexist. God does not coexist with sin. He is the only God. He is not going to bow down to some other God. Period. He tells us that in His Word. Have no other gods before me. It ain't just talking about Buddha. It ain't just talking about Muhammad. He's not talking just about these false religious gods. He's talking about gods that you and I have in our lives, right? Such as, right, the fornication I talked to you about, sleeping together and you're not even married. Is that right? That's a big one in the world today. I'm going to live with somebody for a little while to make sure I'm going to try them out first and test it, see if it's going to work. That's not what God said. Right? He said the bed's undefiled in marriage. Is that right? Amen. Things like the homosexuality movement today. Right? And that's okay that God instituted that type of marriage. That is not biblical at all. It's not right. God did not institute that. He told Adam and Eve to marry, not Adam and Steve. Amen? Come on. Right? It's things like that. It's things like I said to you earlier, where men and women are just, they got TV shows about wife and husband swapping. And that's normal in our world today. But He said, no adultery. That's what He said. That's what He said. Right? And so, it's things like that, and things like, you know, the addictions that we have in our lives, not just alcohol and drugs, although that's part of it, but all them addictions that we have. We got to deal with those things if God is convicting us, and get rid of those things. And quit trying to talk God into being okay with what we do. Right? God is not going to compromise. God tells us that this is what we must do to make heaven our home. We're not saying it. He said it. And the reason He said it was, is He don't want some bride that's been with all these other false gods. He's coming back for a bride that has saved herself for His return. Amen? That's what He's coming back for. We got to anticipate Him coming back for a pure church and make sure that we're ready when He does come. If there's any sin in our lives, the Bible said we can't go with Him to heaven. He said that. No sin shall enter into where? He said that. Okay? So again, that's what He's looking for. That's what He's looking for. He is anticipating a church that is pure and holy. Amen. And shouldn't we be anticipating a God? That's that way to think about this. Let me just say it this way. What if this Jesus that we've talked about for so long comes back and He splits the eastern sky? Now just work with me. Don't nobody hit me. He laid this on my heart, okay? I promise you're going to be all right. He splits the eastern sky and He's so drunk that He can't stand up to blow the trumpet. What would you and I think about that kind of a God? What if He comes back and says, hey, I want you to meet my other shorty over here. Let's see shorty. Here she is. I'm coming back to get y'all, but y'all got to share her with me. Right? He comes back with some other bride with Him to get us. How would you feel? Right? You got to share me with her. Oh, shorty over here. Is that right? How would you feel? How would you feel if Jesus, right? Come on now. Came back and He said, you know, I done kicked God to the curb, and me and old Buddha now, we done teamed up. I've come back to get you with this little gold, bald-headed fat guy. I'm not making fun of them. I'm just telling you that's what it is. Y'all know they worship. That's what it looks like to me. What would you do if He done that? What would you do? You see what I'm saying? Oh, Mark, He would never do that. Well, He's expecting the church to never do that too. Amen? That's what is. See what I'm saying? We put all this pressure on Jesus, but we don't want Him to put the pressure on us. Is that right? I mean, I'm just being real. So, while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they were who were ready went with Him, and the other ones didn't, and He locked the door, right? And verse 11, afterward came also the other virgin saying, Lord, Lord, open to us, right? Everybody wants to cry out to Jesus after the fact. But He answered and said, verily I say unto you, what? I didn't know you. Can you imagine being engaged to somebody for a long period of time and then them coming up to you and saying, I don't even know you. Who are you? Right? And you're like, come on, man. You know me and you talked about this a long time ago. Right? You said you was coming back. And he said, no, I don't recall. I don't know you. Right? You think, well, he's got amnesia. Right? But it's not that what he's talking about is, certainly he knew who you are, but he just simply said, I don't have a relationship with you. I don't really know who you are. You did nothing to come with me. You're not ready. And if I take you with me, it would be an embarrassment to my Father's house. Amen. Come on, somebody. Huh? It would have been an embarrassment in that day, which is why Joseph wrestled so hard with this deal with Mary. It says that he privately wanted to put her away. And under the law, he could have. Right? If she'd have been with another man and she didn't save herself for him. That's why the angel had to come to Joseph and say, hey, whoa. I know what you're thinking, old boy, but this ain't what it looks like. Amen? She's still pure and holy. She's still pure, rather, waiting on you. This baby that she has was by the Holy Spirit. Right? And he knew that if he didn't come, if the angel had not have come, Joseph probably would have put her away. And it would have been an embarrassment to the household of his father. Guys, if Jesus came back to take us, and we were not ready, and we were not pure, right? We had defiled ourselves with all these other false things. It would be an embarrassment to his father's house. And everything that you and I know about God, all the truth and the holiness and the righteousness that he is, would all be done away with in one moment. In one moment. And Jesus ain't going to do that. He's about his father's business. He is not bringing anybody back with him that is not ready. Because they would defile his father's house. And now a house that was pure is no longer pure. Right? Is that right? Jesus, or Paul here, ends his writing to the church at, Jesus ends his writing here to the disciples as he spoke to them, "Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hours I said to you earlier, wherein the Son of Man comes." Watch. Be ready. That's why I said to you, the disciples continuously, in my heart of hearts, believed to the day they died. We're watching, waiting on Jesus' return. He told them to watch, be ready, because that time is coming. Watch, be ready, for you know not the hour. Amen. So anticipation. Excitement. Jesus, his disciples, all of us, Christians, should be excited and telling everybody about this Jesus. We should be talking about how awesome he is. How wonderful he is. How he is preparing such a beautiful place for us. That he has such a longing to come back and see his bride. Amen? And our anticipation should be such that it draws others as well. Right? They should want to see the same things in us. Right? They should, that excitement that they see in us should want them to make them to do the same thing. The problem is today is as people see vessels with no oil in them. And we're telling people that Jesus is returning, and we're telling them that he's coming back to get us, but yet they see the life that we're living, so they're wondering in themselves, how can they come? How can he come and get you, right, when he's coming back for a pure church? This is the confusion that's happening in the world today. The Bible tells, and we tell this, and we preach it, and they read it, that he's coming back for a pure church, but when people that are ranked sinners look at the church, they don't see purity, right? They see things in people's lives, and they think, well, how can that be a righteous God? How can that be true? Everything I read about him says you have to be pure and holy and righteous. But yet if he's coming back to get you, then that means I can live that same way and still make it into heaven. Right? That's what's happening in the world today. We have lived that so long as a church that now it now is looked at as the rule. That it's okay to do all those things and you're still going to go to heaven. It's actually preached that way now. That you can live however you want to live and still make it to heaven. That's not so. Not so at all. And there's going to be so many people that's going to be misled, and so many people that's going to be left behind because they believe that. There's only one way to live, and that's the way God says. He said it this way. Be holy, for I am holy. That's what Jesus said. We've got to live the way he wants us to live if we're going to make heaven our home. We need to have such excitement about him that we don't let anything desecrate this temple. Amen? Nothing. There's nothing in this world that's going to, there's nothing in this world that's that awesome that's going to, that would take the place of knowing that Jesus returned and called your name. Imagine that. He wants to look out there and see his bride in all white. I remember when Christy walked out, and I walked out first, and we were standing there, and there was such anticipation in the room. I mean, you could hear people, you know, it was a buzz, you know, how it is. You know, everybody's just talking. And when we walked out, everybody kind of got real quiet, you know. And then they started playing the song that she was going to walk into. And everybody immediately, when that song started playing, without anybody saying anything, turned, looked back, and stood up. Without nothing being said, there was such excitement and anticipation on what she would look like. And you really think she's going to go through with it, right? Half of them were looking back going, I don't believe I'd marry that knucklehead, right? And so they turned and they looked back, and they were all looking, waiting on her entrance. And there I stood with the pastor, right, looking back with great anticipation. And it reminded me of how it's going to be in that day. The father's going to be standing there looking toward the bride. The son's going to be standing beside him. And they're both going to be looking, waiting on the appearance of the groom, the bride, excuse me, waiting on the appearance of the bride. And then all of a sudden, the trumpet sounds, and the father looks over at his son, and he said, "Are you ready?" Is that right? My pastor actually asked me that question. He said, "Are you ready?" I was about to pass out. I don't know why I was, because I had a relationship with my wife. I knew who she was. It's like Jesus has a relationship with us, but man, there's something about it. I'm standing there, and he said, "Are you ready?" And I feebly said, "Yeah." Right? So here we stood. And we looked over at the lady playing the piano. He kind of gave her a little nod. She hit the first key. And everybody stood, turned, looked back, and the doors flew open. And I saw Christy for the very first time in that dress. See, we didn't do first looks back then. I think a first look's pretty good, because that way you just don't pass out in front of everybody else. But I had no idea. So I didn't even get to see the dress. So when they opened the doors and I could see her back there, there was a great excitement. And tears were in my eyes. I thought, that's going to be my wife. That's my bride. Right? And I was so proud during that day. Every step she took up the aisle, I kept thinking, yep, fellas, that one's mine. Right? Could not wait on her to get up there. And when they placed her hands in my hands, man. And I was able to see her eyes, and she saw my eyes. That was it. That was it. Never forget it long as I live. Man, it was beautiful. And that's the way it's going to be. Jesus is anticipating you as much as you are him. He can't wait until his father says, "Go get her." Huh? Can you imagine? The angels in heaven are going to be rejoicing. The celebration that's going to take place when the bride and the groom are united and never separated again is going to be a powerful, powerful thing. And the marriage supper of the Lamb that takes place, the celebration in heaven, I hope you can see it. It is not we just got some Swedish meatballs and some cheese blocks. I'm talking about this thing is going to be immaculate. The celebration in heaven that they have been united and God's plan has been fulfilled, and the joy of the Lord that's going to be in that place. Can't you understand now why we sing that song that it's joy that's unspeakable and full of glory? You cannot comprehend, and I cannot comprehend that moment. Think about it. When Jesus splits that eastern sky and you hear that trumpet and you look up and you see the groom coming, man, I'm going to tell you, that moment is going to be unlike anything you've never experienced before in your life. Unlike it. We've never seen something so glorious than that moment. I hope he puts it on slow motion for us, so it'll last for just a long time, right? Just that little spot. I just hope he does. How awesome is that going to be? We just need to be ready. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. Whatever this says, this is the instructions in order to be ready. Okay? This is it. We can't change it. He set it up that way because it has to be that way. Okay? So make sure if there's anything in your life that does not match this word, anything, then it needs to, you need to refrain from it, ask for forgiveness, and move forward in Christ. I still believe in salvation. I still believe in repentance. I still believe the Bible teaches it. And I still believe that we're supposed to live it that way. Is that right? That's the way it's supposed to be. That we're ready. We're ready. Is that right, Brother Jimmy? We're ready. Talking about you the other night when you got saved right here. What a great day that was. Amen. Me and Brother Joey Powell was talking about it. Are you ready? Church, are you ready? Are you ready? Individually, are you ready? If he were to return today, are you anticipating his return? Have you prepared the way you should prepare? Is the house in order? Let's pray. If it's not, now is the time. Now is the time. Heavenly Father, oh, I really have enjoyed your word today.